88 and where we're going, girl, won't be needing roads, cause this ain't no 50 first dates.
I'm talking about starting out as friends. I'm talking about real and not pretend. I'm talking about rules of a lifetime. You and I can even write the end.
Good morning. This is DJ Homeschool coming at you with Real Life, your weekly Wednesday morning show, right here on your one and only Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Today is Wednesday, September 24th, and it is a beautiful day in the studio. It's officially fall, and it is nice and crisp outside, and the birds are chirping. It's just beautiful. I hope everybody had an amazing week since we last spoke. I worked all weekend, and I was nannying. My bosses decided that they were going to take on Vegas. So the twins and I did a lot of fun stuff. We did some cooking. We made these amazing pumpkin waffles. They were to die for. And I really want to start a blog or something that I might be able to share with you guys and post recipes. I like to cook and bake a lot, so maybe that'll be something I can share with you in the future. But Saturday, we slept in, and then we went out to Baker Beach in the city. And I had never been there before, and it was honestly so amazing and so beautiful. It's right under where the Golden Gate Bridge is, and it's right by the Marin Headlands. And it's right where the rocks have shifted over years and years and years to separate San Francisco and Marin County. And it has this beautiful little beach situated right in the middle of it. And it was amazing. It was nice and foggy, and it was a crisp day. It was actually a birthday party for one of the twins, their friends. And so there are lots of food. They're French. Actually, they go to an all French speaking school. They are fluent in French and English at only 5 years old. And so they had all this wonderful French food and just a bunch of nice people. And it was a really great party. It was a perfect place for me to sit and catch up on my journaling. It was really awesome. And I'm super excited for this week. I want to share this with everybody. One of my really good friends who graduated from Dominican this past year in spring of 2014, he's in town from Hawaii. And so we get to hang out tomorrow night, and we're going to head into the city and go have dinner at this really awesome Korean barbecue place. It's called the Akini Q. If any of you guys have ever heard of it, or maybe you haven't, but if you're in the Bay Area, you definitely should go try it. You pay one price and it's unlimited food. You grill it. You know, they have those built-in table grills right there. And it's really yummy food, but it's a really fun experience as well. So I'm really excited to see my friend go get some yummy food. And it might be my last night, and it is going to be my last night in civilization for a while. I am going on a camping trip with my class for the colloquium class that I'm in. It's our sense of self, inner and outer spaces. So we're going to head out, go to one of those outer spaces into the woods of Point Reyes. And to be 100% honest, I'm so nervous. My family wasn't really the camping type, so that was not something that I did growing up. If we were going to get away for a night or two, we went to a hotel. I grew up an hour and a half from the Las Vegas area, and so we would go into Las Vegas and, you know, spend the night and go have dinner and, you know, go to the outlet malls or, you know, go to a good movie. And, you know, we weren't really campfire people. So I legitimately have only been inside of a tent one time. My dad actually found it when he was cleaning our garage or something. And this was in the first house that we all lived in. And so we moved out of that house when I think I was seven. So that tells you how long ago that is. I'm almost 21 now. And it was in the living room. It wasn't even outside. It had a DVD player attached. So when I go on this camping trip, there's not even a toilet. There's an outhouse and there's no shower. And my teacher, she was talking in class and she looked over at me and she pointed and she said to leave the makeup bag at home. So this is going to be a huge test for me, but in this really strange way, I'm excited for it. All my friends have been super encouraging and they've been, you know, really, they've been telling me I can do this. And so I think this will be really good for me to prove to myself that I can do this. And, you know, my bosses are really cool. They let me borrow a tent and a sleeping bag and a mess kit. kit because my instructor told me that I needed to bring a mess kit, and I thought that that was shampoo, and that's precisely how I found out that there is no shower. So make sure you guys listen in next week for Real Life Camping Edition. So I hope that you guys are having a wonderful day, and let's get real. Let's talk wellness. So I had a few listeners last week, and they all know me, so they reached out to me, and they had some topics that they wanted to discuss. And these girls are my sister, one of them's my sister, and her roommates. They go to FITM, which is the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in Los Angeles, and I've met them. They're all super great girls. I totally love them. They're so fun, so sweet, and they're amazingly talented. They're actually all fashion design majors except for one, and she's an interior design major, which I kind of found funny because their apartment has white walls with no artwork. There's only art supplies everywhere, but no actual artwork, which I find kind of ironic. But anyways, these girls texted me, some of them emailed me, and they had some questions. So I want to answer them on my show. I think that they'd be really good for all of you listeners. So the first question was this: I'm trying to cut down on my bread intake in my diet, but I don't want to go completely carb-free. What are some healthy alternatives? Well, now we get to talk about my favorite food right now, which is quinoa. A lot of people call it quinoa. I've heard a lot of different ways to say this, but the correct pronunciation is quinoa. And I love this, first of all, because it's gluten-free. And I don't eat a lot of gluten. I still eat some of it, even though it's really not good for you. I do still eat it sometimes. And this is actually a species. It comes from a species of goosefoot, and it's a grain crop, but it's grown for its seed. So the little quinoa that, you know, you think of when you're eating, it is a seed actually, and it's what's called a pseudo cereal, and it's actually a member of the grass family, and it's closely related to a couple different species. One of them is beetroot, the other is spinach, which you're probably familiar with, and another one, which I thought this was really cool, it's related to the tumbleweed. It's like its long-lost cousin or something. But anyways, another really great property of quinoa is that it's high in protein, and so that's something that's good for a lot of different people, especially if you're going to be active. It's going to keep you really energized, and I think the more protein, the better. Quinoa was really important to the diet of the pre-Columbian Aryan civilization, and it's grown and become a lot more popular in modern day society, and it's actually been named a superfood. You know, there are those superfoods like the acai berries and kale. It pretty much has to do with its vitamin content, but quinoa has now been named a superfood. One, because its protein content is really high. It's not as high as beans, however, or legumes like a lentil, but per 100 calorie serving, its protein content is higher than white rice or even brown rice, potatoes, barley, or anything of that sort. So it, other sources are claiming that it's really high in amino acids as well. Quinoa has a really good amount of fiber in it, and it's really high in magnesium and iron. So if you're not a red meat eater, I know my little sister, she absolutely refuses to eat red meat, and she hasn't eaten it in years now, but she has an iron deficiency, and so quinoa is a really good way to supplement that. Taylor, if you're listening, eat your quinoa. And it is also a really great source of calcium. It's really good for people who are vegan and those who are lactose intolerant like me. So it's going to give you a little bit of extra calcium punch in there. So again, it's gluten-free, and so it's considered to be really easy to digest. Another really cool factor about quinoa, and this is really interesting to me, is it has what's called a low glycemic index. And so when you eat food, it automatically raises everybody's blood sugar, whether you're diabetic or not. And again, I'm type 1 diabetic. And so foods turn into sugar, which turns into energy. And so your blood sugar automatically spikes. However, the certain foods make it spike slower than others, which that's what you want. You don't want a really high, fast spike, because then you're just going to come crashing down. You know, something that's going to be like, you know, white flour, or, you know, breads and pasta, those things, you know, not good, solid whole grains. And so quinoa has a really low glycemic index, so it's not going to raise your blood sugar up super, super high and then have you come crashing down. So it's really good in that aspect. And because of all these characteristics, quinoa is actually being considered to be a possible crop in NASA's Controlled Ecological Life Support System. And so what that means is it's being considered to be a food that's going to be served for long-duration human-occupied space flights. So if it's good enough for the astronauts to eat, it is good enough for me. So it's got a lot of really great nutritional values, and I have recently found that there are these little packets, and I found them at Costco, but since I found them at Costco, my eyes have been a little tuned into them, and I've found them at Safeway, and I've even seen them online on sources such as like Amazon and Vitacost. But this is brand of quinoa, and it's called Seeds of Change. And there are these amazing little pouches that give you 2 whole servings of garlic quinoa. And it does have a little bit of brown rice thrown in there. But again, that's gluten-free, dairy-free, still packed with a bunch of nutrients. But you throw these packs in the microwave for about 1.5 minutes, and bam, there you go. You have organic, super flavorful, low-fat, gluten-free goodness. So yummy. It's a really good carb that you can eat on its own, but it also keeps well. It does have 2 servings in the package. So if you eat one, you can throw the other one in a Tupperware, and then you can reheat it later, or you can throw it over a salad with some hummus dressing, which is my new favorite, and it is so delicious. It makes it a little bit more hearty. So hopefully you guys get your hands on these little quinoa packets. Again, the brand is Seeds of Change, and it's really making a name for itself, this whole quinoa thing, because I went to Whole Foods the other day, and you know how they have those sushi bars? Well, they're even making their sushi rolls with quinoa, and I've yet to try it, but I think maybe for lunch today. I have a nice long lunch break today, so maybe I'll go try some quinoa sushi. So the second question came in, and she said, homeschool, I eat at least 3 eggs a day. Is that healthy? Well, there's a lot of debate on that. Personally, I love eggs. I think they are one of the most amazing foods. There's not an egg that I've met that I don't like. Scrambled, hard-boiled, soft-boiled, you know, poached, fried eggs, quiche, anything. Totally love it. And being a diabetic, there are times that I need a lot of protein with very little carbohydrates, so I do eat a lot of eggs. But let's consult the professionals on this. I did a little research, and Dr. John Berardi, and he is the founder of Precision Nutrition. He wrote an article for the Huffington Post, and he's published a lot of other articles, but this one I found really relatable and really interesting. He says, you know, he knows that there's a lot of controversy about eggs. You know, sometimes people say there's too high of a fat content. You know, they're not good for you. You need to have other foods. But that has a lot to do with cholesterol and the cholesterol levels in an egg. One large egg contains about 185 milligrams of cholesterol. And the American Heart Association recommends that you have a limit of 300 milligrams per day. So if you eat 2 eggs, you've exceeded the limit. So are they bad for you? Not necessarily. This happens to be the problem with the American Heart Association's recommendation. It's assuming that when you eat more cholesterol from eggs and other animal foods, that's where you get your main sources of cholesterol is animal products. It's assuming that your blood cholesterol increases. Well, if that were the case, it would make sense to eat fewer eggs, you know, less animal products, more fruits and vegetables. And then your blood cholesterol would be lower and your heart and arteries would stay healthier for longer. But here's the thing. Dr. Berardi is saying that your body doesn't work that way. There is research that is consistent and reliable that shows that the cholesterol you eat does have very little impact on how much cholesterol is actually in your blood. And that sounds a little bit weird. And so he breaks it down a little bit further, and this is where it got really interesting to me. So your body, it makes cholesterol naturally. It's something that it just, it's a natural process and it's what happens. So every single day you produce between 1 and 2 grams of it on your own. And that is 5 to 10 times the amount of cholesterol in a large egg, because an egg has 185 milligrams approximately. So the interesting twist on this is that when you eat more cholesterol from food like eggs, your body produces less of it. And when you eat less cholesterol from food like eggs, your body produces more of it. So your cholesterol levels have kind of like a set point. And so Dr. Borati compares it to a thermostat. And it's determined by your genetics, also your exercise habits, and even your stress levels, amazingly enough. It's funny how many areas of your life can be affected by stress. But funny enough, diet plays a surprisingly small role in this whole cholesterol set point game. So cholesterol isn't all that bad for you, Dr. Borati says, and it happens to be one of a really important nutrient that your body needs, just in good balance. So in all of your cell membranes, you know, the outer layer, cholesterol is required for growth, and it also helps with the production of many hormones that you need in your body to properly function. So there's all of this research and all of these interesting facts about cholesterol, but if all of that is true, why are people telling you to still avoid eggs? So egg paranoia has been based on the old assumption that eating the yolks will raise your cholesterol, therefore increasing your artery and heart disease. So a lot of people have switched over to egg whites only, which is primarily protein and water, has no fat, it has very little calories. And I do like egg whites. I think that they're really good for you, especially if you put some vegetables in it or even some cheese. It's quite delicious. But they are having control. They've done some controlled trials where people were instructed to eat up to 3 eggs per day, whole eggs, including the yolk, and while they were on a weight loss diet. And good things actually happened. So these people lost weight. They were able to have decreased inflammation, and they were able to maintain and even improve their blood cholesterol levels. And they were consuming 555 milligrams of cholesterol every day from eggs alone, not to mention the other meats that they were eating, because these people were not eating completely vegetarian or vegan. So they're saying that eggs might not be that bad for you, actually, after all. So there's a really important question. You know, people say, can eating whole eggs, including the yolk, actually be good for you? And a lot of experts are saying yes, that they really are. The egg yolks are really, really nutrient dense. They're very antioxidant rich, and they have lots of vitamins. They're one of the most vitamin rich planet foods on the planet. And so compared to the yolk, the yolks have all of that vitamin and nutrients, because again, the whites are pretty much just protein and water. But the egg yolk alone contains 90% of the calcium, iron, phosphoric acid, zinc, thiamine, B6, folate, and B12 of the egg. And so in addition, the yolk contains all of the fat soluble contents like vitamins A, vitamins D and E, and it also has a lot of heart healthy omega-3 fatty acids. And so they have a lot of really good antioxidants, lots of good vitamins that are really good for you. So some of these people are only eating egg whites or avoiding eggs entirely, and they're missing out on a lot of these key nutrients. And for some people, there is time to ditch the yolks. If you're on a really strict weight loss diet, you know, they say that athletes that are competing in weight class sports, you know, every calorie counts for them. So that may be something that they need to cut back on. But in the end, studies are finding that eggs won't significantly increase your blood cholesterol level or put you at any higher risk for heart or artery disease. And so eggs really are an awesome addition to your diet. Again, there's no reason to get crazy. You don't need to completely live off eggs alone. I think personally, the key is to eat a varied diet of nutrient-rich whole foods. And for me, that does include eggs. I even like eggs over quinoa. It is so, so good. It's a really yummy, it's like a breakfast hash. If you grill it up with some onions and zucchini and peppers, it is really delicious. So that's all for wellness. And so I hope you give some quinoa and some eggs a try. We will be right back. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we are going to talk beauty. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Sunsets, was making promises I'll soon forget. She's pale as the lace of the wedding gown, but I left her standing before love came to town. Ran into her children when I heard her kids all scream. The notes were turning blue, I was dazing in a dream. Some music played, I saw my life turn round. That was the day before love town. When love comes to town, I'm gonna jump that train. When love comes to town, I'm gonna catch that plane. Maybe I was wrong to ever let you down, but I did what I did before love came to town.
Welcome back. This is DJ Homeschool, and you are listening to radio.dominican.edu. Let's talk beauty. How many of you are stressed? I know I am. I work, I intern, I'm taking 20 units of classes, and these are all really super, super fun things to do. But I'm a student athlete as well, and so it's just a lot of time and a lot of responsibility. And this often leaves me dehydrated and puffy. So my little sister's roommates, they wrote in and they asked, can putting tea bags on your puffy eyes really help the swelling go down? So I thought, you know, I've heard of that before, but I've never personally tried it. Maybe that's something that I should do. So I wouldn't be doing my duty if I did not tell you that I think that water is the cure for all things. And it's the easiest way to get rid of any sort of puffiness. And you have to drink at least 8 to 10 glasses of water each day. I realize that everyone has their tricks. Sometimes it's a special cup, or, you know, sometimes they have to write down how much water they're drinking, or maybe they need it to be flavored. But I find that if I have a little pop top water bottle, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to have to take the time to pull out my water bottle, screw off the cap, take a drink, you know, the whole nine yards. If I can just use that pop top, I drink so much more water. When your body is hydrated, there's less chance of water retention, which that's what's going to cause your eyelids and other parts of your body, like, you know, your fingers to swell. So water is really going to help flush out all these toxins that are in your body. And, you know, another really good trick is to decrease the amount of salt that you consume. But, you know, a big thing is the water. Reduce your soda intake. Reduce your coffee intake. You don't have to give it up completely. I can honestly say that I don't think I will ever completely give up coffee. But, you know, get rid of all that sugar. Drink lots of water. Flush those toxins. But back to the tea bags. So it's said that green tea bags and black tea bags can help soothe puffy and irritated eyes. These tea bags are going to help reduce the swelling because they contain anti-irritant properties. And at the same time, they're also going to reduce redness and other inflammation. So for treating these puffy eyes, you can kind of kill two birds with one stone because you obviously have to get tea bags out. So you can just make yourself a cup of tea. I love tea. I think it is so great, especially in the fall when it's nice and crisp out. I like to drink decaf tea before I go to bed. It just really just calms me down, keeps me nice and warm. So anyways, you can make yourself a cup of tea. So you have to, you know, soak the tea bags in the hot water for a few minutes, but you want to be sure to pull them out and kind of let the excess water, the excess tea drain out, because you don't want to put them on your face and, you know, have them dripping all the way down, and, you know, it's just bad news. Plus, you don't want them to be really hot. Your eyes are some of the most sensitive areas on your body, and my mom always tells me that you cannot replace your eyeballs, so you got to be really careful. So let the tea bags cool down, you know, nice warm temperature, and then you can lie down and put the tea bags over your eyelids and then cover them with a soft, like, washcloth or a little piece of a sheet or a towel or something of that sort. You can put a little bit of warm water on that towel if you want. It won't make too much of a difference, but just keep your eyes covered and let that soak in. And if you give it a little bit of time, you know, relax, listen to some music, you know, talk to your friends or whatever you want to do. After a little bit of time, the swelling around your eyes will reduce. Another really great trick to get rid of puffy eyes is, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard this, but cucumber. And this one's really hard for me because I think that cucumbers are definitely one of my favorite snack vegetables. They're so good, so versatile. So I would have trouble not eating them. I would want to eat them. But chilled cucumber is a really great way to treat your puffy eyes. There's a lot of enzymes, and cucumbers have astringent properties, and those help reduce inflammation as well. So if you take a cucumber and you cut it into thick slices, put those back into the refrigerator for about 10 minutes. You want to get it nice and cold all the way through because that's really going to help your eyes. So put it back in, pull them out 10 or so minutes later, and put them right on your eyes. Just like the tea bags, put the cucumber directly on your eyes. And you want to get kind of a bigger cucumber. You don't want a really tiny one. That way it covers a nice surface area over your eye. So put it on there until it becomes warm again. Then I would go ahead and throw them away. Don't worry about eating those. Buy another cucumber if you need a snack. But if you repeat that process, you can do that, you know, several times a day. So even if you're at work, you can keep some cucumber slices in your refrigerator and you're sitting at your desk or whatever it may be and you need a quick 10-minute break, go grab one of those cucumbers, throw it on your eyes. And it's also for if you have wrinkles or, you know, crow's feet around your eyes, it's going to help reduce your crow's feet and it will brighten up your complexion. So there's another food that I had never heard of that, well, I've heard of this food, but I had never heard that you can put them on your eyes to help reduce swelling, but it's a potato. So just like cucumbers, they are effective for getting rid of those puffy, swollen, achy eyes. And it has to do with the starch that's present in the potato. And it has anti-inflammatory properties, and it really helps the treatment of your puffy eyes. So if you take a medium-sized potato, you want to peel it. You don't want to put, you know, that has a lot of dirt on it. You're not going to want to put that on your eyes. So you're going to want to peel it, and then go ahead and wash the potato again and make sure it's nice and dry. So if you take a cheese grater and you grate the potato, you're going to have all these like little potato shreds. But if you put those in a clean, damp cloth and tie that up and make like a little sachet, a little potato sachet. So if you place this cloth over your eyelids for several minutes, you can repeat the process as many times as you want, and it's really going to help the puffiness. And an interesting fact is, maybe it's not a fact, you should try it though, it might be interesting to see how it works, but it's said that this trick is also helpful in reducing headaches. So that might be a nice thing to try next time you're puffy with a headache, but make sure you're drinking your water first. That's going to help with your headache too. So before reaching for an aspirin, try this new potato trick. I thought this was really cool. Obviously, the theme of the day is eggs for some reason, but egg whites have a lot of skin tightening properties. It's got a lot of protein in there and a lot of water. And so that's going to help give relief to puffy eyes as well. And that's really going to aid in the prevention of wrinkles. So if you take two eggs in a bowl and you want to separate the yolk from them. You don't want to put the yolk. So get rid of that. So now you just are stuck with your egg whites. You're going to whip those egg whites until you get a really stiff consistency. It's going to become almost a paste. It might look a little bit, not even a paste. It's going to look a little bit more like whipped cream. There are going to be nice peaks in those egg whites. So once you've whipped the eggs enough to where they've got a nice stiff consistency, you can add a few drops of witch hazel, which is all natural and it has skin tightening astringent in it as well. So mix up that little concoction there, and then you can take either a paintbrush or a makeup brush that has been cleaned, a soft cloth, or even your fingers. And what you want to do is you want to take a little bit of this mixture and you want to put it under your eyes. Put it all the way around under your eyes. Make sure not to get it in your eyeball and let it dry. And then once it's dried, you can let it sit there for a couple minutes or you can wash it off immediately. It won't hurt you either way. But wash it off and immediately you are going to have tighter skin and look significantly less puffy. So I think I might try that when I get home. I think it would be a really cool trick to see. You know, I think eggs are so versatile and this is really interesting. I'd never heard of putting egg whites on your face, but I mean, it makes sense. So I'm excited to try that trick. Another one is cold spoons. You can take like 6 metal spoons if you have those laying around the house. For me, for some reason, my house is like the Bermuda Triangle of spoons. I cannot keep spoons for the life of me. I buy my spoons at the dollar store because I just lose them all the time. So I can't even have nice silverware because they just disappear. I don't know where they go. I might leave them at school or in book bags or I have no idea, but I never can seem to find my spoons. But if you can find your spoons, take them out and put them in the refrigerator, or you know, if you're in a rush, put them in the freezer for a few minutes, you know, 5-10 minutes. And when you take out the cold spoon, you're going to want to take the rounded edge, like the bottom of the spoon, and hold it against your eye for a few minutes until the spoon becomes warmed all the way through. As it warms up, you can replace it with another cold one from the refrigerator, because you're going to want to repeat this process. You're going to want to do it about two or three times per eye. So it's really going to help tighten up the skin around your eyes. And it's also going to relax the blood vessels, and it's going to offer relief to your tired eyes. So it's a really simple home remedy, and it's surprisingly effective when it comes to treating tired and puffy eyes. And you know, maybe you're not comfortable using your cutlery on your eyes. So maybe you can even use like a bag of frozen peas or another really cold frozen food. I actually heard somewhere that a steak was good for your eye. I wouldn't try that at home. I would research that further before you put steak on your face. That's just me though. But I want to go back to tea bags for just a quick second. And you know, maybe a lot of people are wondering, you know, what kind of tea to use. Obviously, you can use black or green tea, but, you know, maybe you don't have that, or maybe that's your favorite kind of tea and you want to drink that rather than, you know, wasting it on your eyeballs. But in my house, we have overflowing amounts of tea. My parents, they don't drink coffee and they only have tea. And so we literally have every kind of flavor, every, you know, loose leaf. We have tea bags. We even have tea sachets. We have all of it. So how do you decide? Or are there other options? So obviously there are green and black teas and any other caffeinated tea. Those are going to work really well to soothe the puffy, irritated eyes. And it's not going to matter between types of caffeinated tea. It's not going to be that significant of a change. Because those caffeinated teas are going to help constrict the blood vessels, therefore reduce the swelling. But here's a cool tip. You can also use herbal teas like a chamomile tea. And those contain anti-irritants. And those are really, really, really going to help with the redness. So hopefully that helps your eyes. I think I should do this soon, and I hope all of you guys try it. But one quick note is lately I've been obsessed with this tea from, it's called Good Earth is the brand. You can get it anywhere. I've seen it at Walmart, Target, even Walgreens, but it's sweet and spicy tea, and it's naturally caffeine free, and it's got rubiose, and it's a red tea infusion, so it's actually kind of orangish pink, but it's got sweet orange, it has cinnamon in it, it's spiced up with some chicory root and a rose hip. It's got lots of cinnamon in it, lemongrass, peppermint, chamomile, ginger, and orange peel. And it is so absolutely delicious. It is my new favorite. And it's one of those teas that I can drink before bed because it's not going to have caffeine to keep me up. I wouldn't necessarily recommend putting that on your eyes because it's got that cinnamon in there. That might burn a little bit. But that is my new favorite tea. I encourage everybody to try it. So before we end the beauty segment, I have got to tell you this story. So like I said, I nannied all weekend through Monday. And I was downstairs, and the boys were upstairs getting ready for bed. And, you know, usually you can hear them. Their bedroom and bathroom is right over the kitchen. So, you know, I'm standing under the sink and or over the sink, and I can usually hear them. But all of a sudden, it was pretty quiet. And, you know, they're five and boys. They're never quiet. So I knew something was up. So I yelled upstairs, and I said, "Hey, guys, what are you doing?" Well, it took him a minute, so I started to walk up there, and I hollered up the stairs again, and I'm like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And one of them yelled out, "We're not putting your makeup on." So I knew right then and there that I was in for it. So I walked upstairs, and when I got into the bathroom, and my makeup bag was completely dumped out. And they had done a really nice job. They're very organized boys. They had nicely lined up all my beauty products, but they were also covered in liquid eyeliner, and they had foundation in their hair, and there was sparkly eyeshadow everywhere. And that just tells you how pale I am. The twins are blonde, and they thought that the foundation went in their hair because they told me that the colors were the same. So I thought that was really funny. And I could just smell. They just reeked of my perfume. So I wish I had taken a picture, but I had just given them a bath, and it was getting pretty late. And so I was really concerned about just getting them back in bed. So it took two makeup wipes on each of their faces and hair to get out all of this makeup, but it was really sweet. And then they went to bed smelling like Ralph Lauren perfume, but it was so cute and so funny. They looked absolutely adorable. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. So once again, you are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Homeschool, and we will be right back.
I sew myself shut. My weakness is that I can't do much, and my scars remind me that
you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Welcome to Bosco's Breaks. The sudden death last month of 63-year-old comedian and actor Robin Williams was ruled to be suicide by Marin County authorities. While suicide was the event that ended Williams' life, the why behind the event is complex. Williams' publicist, Mara Boxbaum, released a statement that Williams had been seeking treatment for severe depression. The word suicide can leave the impression that it is an individual's choice or decision to die. Dr. Stephen Ilardi, author of The Depression Cure and associate professor of psychology at the University of Kansas, has found that because depression is such a misunderstood condition, there are a lot of people who have little sympathy for those who resort to suicide. Ilardi says depression is a mental illness, not a lifestyle choice. Like cancer or any other disease, it is unavoidable, but unlike cancer, it is more often than not a hidden illness. According to Save.org, a website devoted to suicide awareness, suicide takes the lives of nearly 40,000 Americans every year, making it the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Considering that one person takes their own life every 14 minutes in the U.S. alone, experts say there's clearly much more to discover about the brain's processing in order to battle the illness and stereotypes surrounding it. Although William's suicide was both shocking and heartbreaking to many, it signifies the challenges involved with treating depression and other mental illnesses in general. According to mental health experts, effective medications and treatments are available for even the most severe cases of depression. Nonetheless, the approach to finding which remedy will succeed can be a frustrating experience and can lead to a delay in a patient's recovery. Depression is currently treated with both medication and therapy, but there's still room for improvement, according to Dr. Winston Chung, a psychiatrist at the Cedar Pacific Medical Foundation, who specializes in mental and mood disorders. Chung also said that researchers need to better understand the biology of mental health issues in order to reduce the stigma and produce more accurate treatment. If you or a student in need is looking for a campus resource, you may seek the Dominican University's counseling service by calling 415-485-3258. These appointments are free to all students, available Monday through Friday, and are completely confidential. That number was 415-485-3258. Along with the campus resource, there are many resources in the San Francisco Bay Area for anyone suffering from depression or suicidal thoughts. The Suicide Prevention Crisis Line, 800-273-8255. The San Francisco General Hospital Psychiatric Emergency Services can be called at 415-206-8125. The San Francisco Suicide Prevention 24-Hour Hotline can be reached at 415-781-0500. Thanks for listening. My weakness is that I can't do much, and our scars remind us that the past is real.
Welcome back. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu, and this is DJ Homeschool with Real Life. And this is the relationship segment, and we're going to talk specifically about friend relationships today. And friends are relationships in your life that often come and go. And of course, there are those ones that stick around for a really long time, and I'm lucky enough to have some of those. But at different stages in your life, you're absolutely going to have different groups of friends. And I've noticed how hard friendships can be to balance. You know, you have your college friends, you have your friends from home, and you know, all your friends truly love and care about you. And you have those ones that are going to be there for you through the thick and thin. But of course, you might have those relationships that some people deem toxic. So I read this great article from a new healthcare company, and I was actually looking online for a new endocrinologist to be a part of my diabetes team, but the company is Sutter Health, and I came across this article and talks about how changes in relationships are natural, but they're not always easy. And you know, making and keeping friends can be really tough. And a really great way to make new friends and be involved with your friends that you already have at school is to get really active in student life and in the community. And you want to be careful because peer pressure, especially in, you know, teenage friendships and young adults, those can play a major role in friendships. You know, oftentimes there's going to be someone that's more vulnerable to peer pressure in a relationship, and that's not going to be a very balanced friendship. You have to remember that you have the right and you have the duty to yourself and to those who look up to you, you know, whether that be a little sister or a younger friend, you know, maybe you're an upperclassman and there are some freshmen, but you have to stand up for what's right. You have to express yourself with your friends, and you always have the freedom to say no if you disagree with something. There are often times that people are afraid of losing their friends for standing up for what they believe in, and that is a very significant red flag, and that really shows that chances are you may be in an unstable friendship. So true friends are really able to listen to and respect each other's opinions. You know, standing up for yourself, it may cause tension in a relationship, but you know, tension's okay. That's natural. You just have to have and be equipped with the right skills to assess the situation. You need to communicate your ideas while respecting your friend's opinions. So you have to mutually support each other. And, you know, you're not always going to agree. You know, there are, you know, one of my best friends and I, we don't see eye to eye on, you know, a really big aspect of vaccines. And so that's something that we really have to respect about each other. And we really have to, we talk about them. And then sometimes, you know, we have to say, okay, look, this is how I feel. I hear your side, but I stick with my opinion, but I still love and I still respect you either way. And so I think that is a really, really key way to get through these friendships and to keep and make these long-lasting relationships. So you just have to communicate while keeping respect. And by mutually supporting each other, you're going to have a really nice, stable friendship. And this article encourages you to be supportive and to be encouraging. You never want to tease or belittle your friends. You know, a little fun teasing every now and then is okay, but you don't want to put them down and you don't want to make them feel bad all the time. You need to be able to cooperate. You know, friendships are a mutual effort. And so that's also going to bring compromise. Compromise is a huge thing that a lot of people aren't equipped with. You know, people don't learn early on to compromise. And that was something that my parents really stressed in my life. And I'm really thankful for that. And I'm not saying that I'm the best person to compromise with, but I try. And I keep getting better at it. And it's something you have to practice at. While you're doing all this, you need to continually be considerate. You need to talk openly about those disagreements, but apologize when you hurt them. You know, being in college is really hard. You're trying to find yourself. You're going through a lot of changes, you know, from school to job. It's really difficult. There's this website called College Express, and they wrote this really amazing article that I want to talk about. And it talks about your emotional toolbox. And they pull from a doctor. Her name is Dr. Dorinda Lambert, and she's the director of counseling services at Kansas State University. And she talks about navigating new relationships as an opportunity to assess your own skills. And I thought that was really cool. You know, and it doesn't always have to be a new relationship. It can be a long-lasting relationship and, you know, something that you need to work on. So one of the things that you tried to emphasize that this article emphasizes is finding your own inner compass. So when you find yourself in a situation that is making you uncomfortable, you need to target the problem area. Is it the other person's words or tone? Is it their action that is bothering you? Or are you upset and bothered because their reaction wasn't what you expected? You know, you have to be able to navigate and kind of figure out what's going on. So you need to find your inner comfort level, and you need to find your voice, and you need to be able to get that point across. And that's a lot of times where other students stumble. And, you know, I know personally that I have struggled with that. And this is a really crazy time, you know, in our lives, trying to find that place. And it's sometimes difficult to, under, you know, high pressure situations, to get your message across and get your needs out there with your friends without sounding mean. And so one of the keys to maintaining good, healthy relationships is to recognize when something upsets you and deal with it appropriately. My dad always told me, and, you know, I always tease him when he's like, you know, giving me a lesson or trying to give me some advice. I always tell him that he's lecturing me, but I also tell him that this is my favorite lecture that he's ever given me. And it's this: you cannot control other people's actions. You can only control your actions. And that is so, so true. It is such a great statement. You cannot expect somebody to act, behave, say something the way you want them to. You can't expect that from anybody else. The only person and the only thing that you have control over is how you go into a situation with an open mind, an open heart, and a calm voice. So that being said, speaking up does bring solutions. There's a quote in this article, and it says, "Often people avoid asserting their needs for fear of damaging a relationship. But in fact, what damages is a relationship when resentments are repressed and build up and poison the relationship." So, you know, keeping silent about your roommate's habits because you don't want to make her angry, that solves nothing. All that does is bottle it up, and then eventually it's going to explode. It's like that Diet Coke and Mentos trick. You know, it's just one little tip. You know, you just throw that Mento in, and then in a couple seconds, everything is just going to explode. Of course, you don't want to be that annoying person, and you don't want to point out every annoying habit. And, you know, that's something that's really hard. You know, I've had roommates before, and, you know, they start to irritate you. They leave their underwear on the floor, or, you know, the makeup is out. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, is that really worth it? Is it worth it to start a huge fight over hairspray or over a pair of underwear or whatever it may be. You know, someone drank the last of the coffee creamer. You know, that may be something to start a fight over. No, I'm just kidding. Don't start a fight over coffee creamer. But you need to be able to communicate with your friends, your roommates, your coworkers, and in many cases, you don't have to say something right away. You know, you might feel that initial rush of irritation, but don't dwell on it and don't let it physically overtake your body. Put it to the side, and when you can't shake that, if you can't shake that feeling, you are better off confronting them. Don't avoid it. You know, I'm a talker. And so that's something that I've had to deal with in my friendships. You know, one of my really good friends doesn't talk when things upset him. Like, he won't speak. He just gets upset and he wants to shut down. And me, I'm in your face. I want to talk. I want to talk about what's going on. And you know, you have to be able to work with those people. You need to find the balance of finding your own voice, letting them find theirs, and then mutually meeting in the middle. My best friend, Gabby, she lived with me in high school, so she was a lot more like my sister than anything. But she and I have this really great rule that I want to tell you about. It's called the 10-minute rule. And what it means is that whenever we're upset with each other, we just take 10 minutes. And we each reserve the right, we always have it, to call out those 10 minutes whenever necessary. So we can be on the phone. You know, she lives in Virginia and I live in the Bay Area. And so, you know, generally this is over phone. But we're really close and we have a lot of in-depth discussions. You know, she talks to me about growing up. She's older than me. And, you know, I have certain areas of her life that I talk to her about. And, you know, usually she gets mad at me because I'm not sleeping enough. She tries to tell me that I need to sleep more and be more healthy, which it's funny because she has a baby, and so she really doesn't sleep a lot either. But we are able to shout out that we want to take this 10-minute break, and so what we do is we hang up the phone, we don't talk to each other, we're just completely done for about 10 minutes until we're calm enough to rationally and responsibly come back and talk to each other, say what's on our mind, tell each other our feelings, and move on with the day. And it's really been great. We end up usually laughing about the situation. And so we always just joke about the 10 minutes. And so I encourage everybody to try this 10-minute rule. And, you know, maybe it's something that you've already tried and hopefully it works for you, because I found that it really works for me. So there's one more thing that I want to talk about really quickly with communication. And I'm a communications major, so I will be the first to tell you that I'm a big advocate of social media and any form of media, really. And that is something that it can be really, really dangerous. It's often misunderstood and it can be mistaken and poorly construed. You know, everyone is so obsessed with texting. And I'm not to say that I'm not. I am. I love texting. But I decided to text my mom a few weeks ago about a situation that involved some broken things about my car. And, you know, not all the information was communicated properly on my end. She didn't understand me fully. And so, therefore, there was just a big disconnect. And that started a really big uproar that was completely unnecessary. And long story short, you know, my parents were getting upset. I was getting upset. And my car ended up costing a lot more money than it actually needed to. So, that being said, I am encouraging everybody to use good old-fashioned words. Meet up in person, talk on the phone, because your tone of voice is so important. Whenever I get snippy, my mom tells me, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And so I encourage everyone to put down the texting and use your words for the best possible relationships. So, you know, maybe you guys have heard some of these tips before, but I always think it's nice to get information from an unbiased source. So hopefully that brings you a little bit of light into your relationships. So coming at you now, I have some inspiration and organization. So I am always looking for new ways to stay organized, and I use a day planner, and I personally live off of this thing. It's color-coded, and it's organized by month as well as week, and it has pictures of my family, it has inspirational quotes, and I've had the same kind of day planner for the last 3 years. I started it my senior year of high school, so this will be like my fourth year. I started using it my senior year of high school because I need something to stay on top of all of my school assignments, babysitting jobs, homework, and, you know, just daily tasks like, you know, buying light bulbs. Interesting story for you guys. Yesterday, my bathroom light went out yesterday morning while I was getting ready for work. And so I was like, okay, you know, no big deal. I'll just go get ready in my room. Well, then I got home last night. I didn't get home till midnight when the library closed. And sure enough, I had no bathroom light and no bedroom light either. It was so dark in my room. So thankfully, I had been a responsible adult and wrote down to buy light bulbs in my day planner a few months back. So I had a nice stockpile. So now my room is nice and bright, and I didn't have to get ready in the dark this morning. But anyways, I use my day planner for everything. So always looking for new ways to stay organized and balanced and just further that organization. So I got an iTunes gift card, and I was browsing the organization apps on the App Store, and I came across something called Brightnest. And it has organization tips for cleaning and for your house and your yard and just pretty much every aspect that you can think of. And it's completely customized to what you need. So when it prompts you to sign up, you have to click on certain characteristics. And, you know, the first one was whether or not you have kids or whether or not you have pets. So I happened to put down that I did have kids. I don't, just for all you listeners out there, I don't have kids, but I nanny. So they're kind of like my kids. I love them. But I put down that I did have kids. And then it asks you what your duties are to, like, take care of around the home. It gives you options like, you know, whether you have a basement or an attic, if you have a garage, if you have a lawn, whether you're really focused on the exterior of your home or, you know, your garden, you know, whatever it may be. It has a lot of different options. So I picked garage, even though I don't have any of those. It's most like what I do have, you know, a nice big room to organize. So I picked garage, and then it asks you other questions like if you have a washing machine, and it talks to you about categories on what you're most interested in. So in this app, these categories are health, green, savvy, curious, clean, handy, creative, and hungry. And so when you click, you can pick which ones you like the most. And I think that I picked health, green, and hungry. But what you can do in the little sidebar is you can go through and it'll like give you a homepage that will filter out or it will give you articles to read automatically when you open up this app. But on the sidebar, you can click on it, open it up, and it's really nice and clean. It gives you categories. It'll say favorites, saved, completed, and then it will list off those categories again, you know, health, green, savvy, curious, all of those. And you can pick on the category, and it just has unlimited resources of little mini articles and tips and of like how to stay organized and how to be more clean or more green or more budget savvy. And I thought that was so cool. So I, you know, one of them I thought was really interesting. In the clean category, it had 7 secret talents of dish soap. And another one was how to successfully clean your bathroom in 5 minutes. And so it's really cool because you can save these articles, you can share them to social media, and there's even a button that you can double tap, kind of like Instagram, but it will allow you to save the article and it says completed. And so you can keep those in a little archived folder. And so in the hungry, it had some really cool ones like how to clean cast iron skillets and, you know, 7 new interesting kitchen gadgets. So I thought this was really cool. The app even goes as far as dealing with dust mites. In the clean section, it has tips to, you know, for your pets as well. And in the health section, it has, you know, cold and flu season cures and natural home remedies. And one I thought was really interesting was poaching a salmon in the dishwasher. I had never heard of that, but it gives you step-by-step instructions on how to poach your salmon in the dishwasher. And what was interesting is that I found all of these articles really new and really innovative. And I think the curious category actually ended up being my favorite. It has a lot of funny stories, but they all have a worthwhile message. One of them even had an article on how to do sensory activities with children of different ages, which I thought really pertained to me. And it was really cool. So you can check out this app, and it's called Brightnest, and it's free, which was the best part of all of this, and it's on the App Store, and it's also available for Android phones on Google Play, and you can just let the organization take over. So personally for me today, I think I need to go learn how to clean my bathroom in 5 minutes. I have a lot of homework, but it definitely needs to be done. So I encourage you to check this out. I think it would be really great for you. So thank you guys so much for spending an hour of your day with me. I am about to leave the studio here in a minute, and I'm going to go prepare for my camping trip. I have to go pick up my tent and my mess kit and say a final goodbye to my makeup bag. So I hope that you all enjoy the rest of your week, and I hope it's full of health and happiness. Again, this is DJ Homeschool, and you just listened to Real Life.
But I'm friendly, baby. I'm sad, but I'm laughing. I'm brave, but I'm chicken shit. I'm sick, but I'm pretty.